Speaker for the evening, please give a warm Mesa.
Hi, I'm Lucky and I'm an alcoholic. It's a pleasure to be here, I think. It's certainly not what my mom and dad had in mind when they sent me to college, but here I am. Welcome to the newcomers, and it's going to be a crazy ride for you. I can't imagine going through my first 30 days again, so I hope you never have to do that again. I really do. Happy birthday, and congratulations, Alina. That's awesome. 90 days. I was born at a very young age in 1964. I was really short, and I was very loud. Not much has changed. I'm not much taller. And I got sober on November 2nd, 1994. I put myself into rehab for so I'd remember my 30th birthday. So, do the math. Okay, you're all there? For some reason, we all always need to know all that information up front. I want to thank God for giving me a day of sobriety and Kevin for his lead. He said everything I wanted to say, so I guess we can go. I was born in Burlington, Mass., a baby of six kids. Mom's a godsend who drank. Dad's an absolute genius who has crossed that line into insanity many times. And he has kind of Alzheimer's now. And Mom has cancer. So that's the update on them. She hasn't been drinking this last year. In all of my sobriety, I've been praying for her to come to a meeting or get sober, and I guess you got to be careful what you pray for. I didn't really mean for that to happen, but I was raised Catholic, and I'm sorry. I am Irish, Italian. If you believe in the horoscope, I'm Scorpion. I'm screwed. And I got three older sisters that are amazing. They're the cheerleaders. Whatever. I was supposed to be a boy. So I got three sisters and two brothers, and then there was me. My name was Jimmy. And I love when they tell me that. Get all warm and fuzzy, feeling like they've always wanted me. They are, my parents are both Scorpion, too. She's Irish, he's Italian. We're very confused at funerals and weddings. It's usually just a party. And then fighting. Yeah, it usually comes right after that. So, Friday nights is really where it all began. Every Friday night they went bowling, and every Friday night they'd come home and they'd bring the neighborhood. It was awesome. It was so much fun. I was five the first time I remember getting caught sneaking out of my room. They have a picture, actually, me standing by the, there's a light switch, and I'm like this, you know. And I think they thought it was fun at first, and then then they wanted me to go. I remember going around the table and taking sips, and they thought it was cute, and I just loved it. From the second I had a drink, I've heard before, my favorite drink is more. And that's my favorite drink. And then I found pot. That was really good. So welcome to the potheads. Yeah. Whoa. Right. Now they're like, what? Later, I got into crystals, so welcome to you too. Hope you're off of it. I'll be all over the place. When I got in there, I was like this. It was funny when you said your skin color. I had like this. I thought I looked good. I had like this gray hue to my skin tone, and it was like 90 pounds. I thought I looked great. Yeah. Perception, funny thing, isn't it? So anyway, back to the Friday nights. It would always be a party. It would always be fun. It was very social, and then they fought. And it really was just the way it was. I don't know anything different. I'm single. I wonder why. I like to fight. I just got that. My brother and I, everybody's some sort of addict. And the perfect one is an addict in the other way. She works out and runs like 10 miles a day. And so recently, it's probably like 4 years ago, we found out that she has high cholesterol. My sisters and I were so happy. You know, we're just like throwing the French fries, eating bonbons, going, see, where'd that get you? And we're very happy. God love my sister. She works really hard for it. And the big book talks about that. There's a story that starts on page 512 that's just me. It's entitled Empty Inside. And I've always, it starts off the story, and that's where it got me. It starts off the story saying I act as if. And they had me at hello in that story. Dr. Bob is, you know, and Bill, but that story, that got me. And I have always tried to figure out what it is that my passion is. And that's, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't born with a big drive to be anything. And I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have any answers. I was good in school. I just didn't want anyone to know it. I wanted to just be under the radar, so to speak. The alcoholism and the drug use kind of brought me out in the light, though. It's a weird thing, the whole inferiority complex and the ego. Weird. AA is full of paradoxes, though, and I've learned that a lot. I started smoking cigarettes at 9, and I had my first joint at 9. And I smoked every day until I was that day on the way to rehab on November 1st. And that's, you know what, that was my excuse. I wanted to go into rehab to get off pot, not all the other stuff. Not what everybody else wanted me to, but we would smoke and skip school all the time. And I don't know how my mother didn't know this. I mean, poor thing. She had her hands full. My oldest brother died in his room on 1977. And my dog was barking, and it was 5:35 in the morning. And I heard my dog barking. I went down to his room, and I stood there, and I grabbed my dog. I'm like, you know, leave him alone, shut up, la, la, la. Go to school the next morning, came outside. His car was there, which was odd. You know when you just know something's wrong? I get down to the bus stop. I threw up. Got to school, I threw up. And I kept doing that. And then the vice principal comes to the room and grabs me by the hand. We did not like each other. I knew there was something wrong. She put her arm around me. And they took me to the hospital and pumped me full of everything, thinking I had whatever it was that he died of. And that was not pleasant. And then my mom and dad were gone after that. They did the best they could. I call her all the time on his birthday and on the anniversary to talk about him. My sobriety has been nothing but funerals. And at first it wasn't okay. I know I'm going all over the place, but I can. I'm up here. And you can't control it. Really glad for the people that came tonight. There's a lot of women here that I'm really close to, and you represent Alcoholics Anonymous very well. Okay, I don't know why I'm crying. So he died, and I got into my friends. They were my family. My family is fantastic. I mean, I'm not saying that they're the reason I'm here or why I'm an alcoholic, although there's probably some genetics in there. But, you know, at some point I have to make, I made the choices I did, and it's nobody else's fault. Certainly kick-started it for me, didn't they? Really loving family, and just after that, I would skip school, I would go out with friends and make drinks. And I knew then, because initially I got sick. I knew right away I was an alcoholic. It was different because my mom is an alcoholic, and so I knew it wasn't the brown bag homeless guy that, or you know, or the guys that you thought. It was my mom who drank Friday, Saturday nights, and maybe on a Tuesday all by herself, and it was fun. There was nothing wrong with it until the fighting, and then really at my age, I really didn't know any different. It was okay. I went into Alateen and Al-Anon. That's how I got here when I was 11. I got busted for selling and all this stuff, but they wanted me to go to Alateen because I have issues with my mom's drinking. And I stayed in Alateen for about a year and a half. And after the second meeting, they opened the other door and said, go ahead and do that one too. So they were loving and courageous and kind. And so I dueled it for a while. And then I got a psychiatrist for like 7 years. And that was expensive, I'm sure. That didn't help. I would just go and do it, and then I'd have somebody to tell. I can't put my hands down. Why, do I look pissed off? What's it to you if I have my hands on that? I'm from Boston, I don't, sorry. Welcome to the New Yorker. Whatever. You sidetracked me now. So, I got my license. My dad taught me how to drive backwards for 3 hours, and I can really parallel park well. The problem is I don't drive forward all that well, and I'm going to be 45, and I've had 22 car accidents. God is even funnier because I'm a claims adjuster for an auto insurance company. I'm very good at what I do. They just tell me the stuff on the phone, like, right. But, yeah, going forward has always been a thing. In sobriety, I think I've only had two, though, so that's good. And before that, I was only the driver of 10, and I was a passenger in the rest, and we were effed up. I don't know if I can cuss, but I guess I'll just be a lady and not. But we were effed up every time. And so after like I had 4 in 1 month, my mom bought me a bike and said, go to California. So I turned 18 and I moved to California. My parents were it was a sick home but they're still great. I love them to death. They're the best. I wouldn't trade them for yours. I've heard about yours. When I came here, my brother lived here, and he had lost some weight. A little sketchy on his thinking, and I wanted what he had. And it really was the best diet drug there was. And so, yeah, in 1987, I got hooked on to Crystal, and, you know, pot was always the thing. Drinking was always the thing. Never stopped any of that. And I don't think I would have if my life didn't spiral down the last time I got off Crystal. So we'll get to that in a minute. My brother would start hallucinating, and he was so messed up. And I would steal from him. My loving brother. I stole from everybody. I stole from my mother. My dad. I got my dad this little daddy sign, and there was like this secret drawer on his armoire, and right under the daddy sign would be the drawer, and I would go and steal out of that. Just, what a brat. I was a brat. But I don't know what it was I was looking for. And I had God in my life. I had a great foundation with Catholicism. It really was a good foundation. I just didn't stay in the class. I would go out back. And when my brother had died, he actually had gotten saved and became a Christian and had went and saw all of his friends. He made it a point to say that Wednesday night that he went and saw all of his friends that week and that he had gotten saved on Sunday. It was weird, and he died that Thursday. And I have the second oldest sister was the born-again Christian. She was the one that came Bible-thumping, and we didn't want any part of that. And I remember she didn't wear pants for a really long time. It confused me. She, like, when she became saved, she just wore skirts for, like, 7 years. I'm like, okay. So I didn't get that. I didn't want that. I think I'm supposed to wear a dress when you speak, and I just couldn't do that either. Like, no. I'm a brat. I love my family, and my brother was dying, and he contracted HIV. So he moved back to be with Mom and Dad, but they weren't happy. And he stayed there for 8 years. He's still living. So he's living with HIV. He's not dying from it. And because of all the people that have passed in my life, in the program, out, I got to be present with them and live with them. And I learned from all of them. I love them like crazy. What's so funny? I'm just kidding. So I tried to quit everything. You know how that is, more about alcoholism, that whole chapter. I couldn't do it. He left. And after 3 months, I got off Crystal, but I couldn't get off pot. And I really didn't think I had a drinking problem. Friday, Saturday nights, it's what everyone does. I had a good personality, and when I drank, if we fought, it wasn't because of the alcohol. It's just because that's who I was. I thought I was feisty, whatever. And you were a pain in the butt. And you weren't doing what I wanted. I'm not bossy. I just have better ideas. And it just always became a thing. And so I got this job with the insurance company. And a lot of parties. California's fantastic. Isn't that, what a great place to live. Huh? I mean, no shoveling, none of that. No real heat. And my parents are in Florida right now, so big bugs, very hot, humid, can't take a shower. Sucks. I love it here. They're all back there, most of them, except for the perfect sister, because she bought a vineyard. She was a traveling nurse, married like an admiral or whatever, of course. 2.2 kids. She had the boy, the daughter, the dog, the cat. My oldest sister had a girl first, so, yeah, she wasn't perfect. And then the other one had 5, so there's a lot of kids in the family, and we're all affected by alcoholism. And yet we're still really connected. It's dysfunctional, but it's mine. And I love them dearly. So at work, those accidents I was talking about, there's this whole moral thing and ethics. Not the steps. The steps are how you do it, and the traditions are why they work, you know, how and why. And so I was getting all screwed up at work, and I got in an accident, and I was there 7 years, and I'm a very good worker. I'm an excellent worker. I just have this whole business thing. And so I put in a fraudulent claim. And so, well, even before that, I would have been a felon. I mean, there's plenty of things I would have done. But so the manager, who's my friend, like pulled me by the ear and said either I get help or I lose my job. And I couldn't imagine losing my job. It was like horrifying to me. I can't lose my job. Fired? I mean, ego? I could not lose my job. I could look gray and steal and, you know, people not like me and but lose my job? Weird. So he suspended me for 2 days, and I came back, and then it took me 3 months to go into rehab, and that whole time was chaotic. Although, like the week before, if I would have known I was going to go into rehab, I would have really done more. We all have a bottom. I mean, I certainly, if I could have orchestrated my feelings all my life to be a different way, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe, what if, all that. So I went into rehab, and, you know, there isn't much to my story other than what, you know, it's in the book. It's in the black part between the front and the back. I don't think I'm much different. There's probably tons of things I've done, but it really just doesn't matter to me what my story is. And if you came to hear a story about that, sorry. I've done more stuff in sobriety than I have before that. So I think that's really what God wants me to focus on, is the fact that I'm not perfect. I got sober, and I still lied, cheat, stole. The first 6 months, men were very nice in sobriety, and I didn't see that till later what that really was, but then I turned it around on them and did that later to them, so. Got them back, and my daughter's a product of step 13. I told him I wouldn't say anything about it, but sorry. That's my story, and that's mine. I, poor thing. She's such a great girl. She's a little mini-me. She's 10. And I took her to a meeting just a few weeks ago. I know I'm all over the place, but I took her to the meeting, and I thought it was babysitting. And so I told her to go ahead. And she knows I'm in the program, that her dad's in the program. And after the meeting, she's like, from me to the wall back there, like where Marcy and them are, "Hi, thanks for coming. It's been a long day, I know." Anyway, she's standing there, and I come through the foyer, and she goes, "I'm a newcomer to Alateen?" And I'm like, my whole body went cold. She's holding the newcomer back. I'm like, I thought it was babysitting. I'm sorry. I thought it was babysitting. You know where it is. It's the Monday night meeting. And yeah. She still goes. And that was just like a month ago or so, or whenever I started coming on Monday night. And she was freaked. She's like, she thought she was just going to get licorice and play. When I came into the rooms, you weren't the old guy smoking in the bottom of the basement of the church. We were in a church. And most of them are in a church. You ever notice that? That's kind of, huh. If you don't believe in God, he's going to find you. Janie. I don't know that I had alcoholism really before I got here. It's an infection and it started in my ear. I'm convinced you gave it to me. I wasn't willing to look at that any of the feelings that I had growing up was the reason why I behaved the way that I did. It took me a long time to see that. In the first 6 months, I shopped for my sponsor very carefully. I listened very carefully, and I waited to find the sickest woman I could. And because a lot of the stuff that's my story, all that female personal stuff that you don't know, I needed somebody who did more. And that wouldn't judge me, that I wouldn't feel bad or not want to tell. The problem is that you still want them to have a lot. It's a very complex thing to find a sponsor who has what you want, who's done worse than you did, and looks better, but still is sick. Some of you know her. I have two kinds of sponsors. I have a lesbian sponsor who's, what, 70? Weird. And that's her. And she's got 9 kids. She's sick. And then I have a born-again Christian sponsor. So, yeah, like you, Kevin. I mean, you know, sponsorship is a whole different thing. It's more about sharing and becoming friends and getting intimate with certain people. And, you know, certainly working through the steps is part of that. I wouldn't have died if I didn't come here. I don't believe that. I'd still just be kind of screwed up and justifying all my actions. But I definitely needed a new way of living that I could have some sort of inner peace with that would match what God desired for me. And I so desired the untouchable feeling of being loved and accepted and taller. You're 5'7". What do you know? It's been really difficult for me. And there was a time where I was taller laying down. And I'm glad for the first meetings that I went to, coupled with the other program, which saved my life also. Had you been, no offense, the older guys that smoked and that was in the bottom of the, you know, I don't know. Looking out at you, what an incredible thing that Bill and Bob found in just talking to one another. What an odd thing to share with somebody, and that's going to keep me sober till midnight? Weird. And this, I come here tonight, selfishly for me, not for you. And it really is none of my business what you think of me. All the stuff that you're judging me on, it really doesn't matter, even though I know you're doing it. It's okay. I'll write about it. And it'll eventually come out in your inventory, too. And I just have been really blessed with God that I... He won't leave me alone. He just keeps... He's always there. And I keep trying to do it my way without him, even in sobriety. I'm such a snoop. But, you know, initially, that whole lying, cheating thing, it was not good. You know when you journal, be careful for the girlfriend. And where that's going. So don't write stuff about her while you're dating her, because she'll snoop and find it, and then you'll have to discuss it. Did I mention I was single? He's sitting there going, oh my God, she read my journal. I'm just kidding. Wasn't you. yeah. I remember when I went into, in sobriety, I went to the store and they had a new cereal and I wanted to try it, so I opened it and I started eating it. And then I closed it back up and put it back up on the shelf and I walked out. And I went home and I told her. And she put me in her car and drove me back. And maybe go up to the manager and tell, and I had to find the hidden, because I hid it, the cereal box. And so I got the cereal box, I opened it up, it was there. Shocking, nobody bought it. And so I brought it up to them and I had the money. I said, I'm really sorry, I just wanted to try it. And they're like, we don't care. And they threw it away. And most of my amends have been like that. And it's really, like, just so you know, for the new people, the whole force, all these steps, they're not as fearful as you think they're going to be, because when you're living them and when you're going to do them and when the right time is for you in your sobriety, it will just happen naturally and it won't be that painstaking thing. Number four says fearless. You know, there's no fear in what you already know. It's number five you got to watch out for. Now you got to tell someone. It's not a big deal to write about your story. And had I known there was a nine, I probably wouldn't have done all the things I did. That's just truth. If I had to go back and tell everybody, oh my God, that took a long time. And there's been good amends and there's been bad amends. And then while you're doing amends, they start telling you what they did to you. And I'm so not ready for this. And what I've learned is that I have a program and they don't. And I am responsible for my sobriety. I have to chase my sobriety every day. I have a friend that recently is has an accumulation of months. And it's an amazing, incredible achievement to have one day. And they just keep talking about the months and wish they had the years. And I'm thinking, the longer you're away from a drink, the closer you are, the sicker you are, hello. And it's like, haven't you listened to anything I've been doing? And I asked her, you know, what time she got up that day. And she had gotten up before me, so I told her she had more time than I do. And I keep that. I really believe it. I honestly believe that each and every one of the steps that I've lived through has just been a blessing and something that I've worked for. I've earned my sobriety, there's no question about it. But I'm just as close to a drink as you or the newcomer or whatever. I don't know if I was to feel the way that Kevin does if there was a... I probably wouldn't take the pill. I'd probably crush it and snort it. But, you know, my manager had once told me I was getting on vitamins, and they said, oh, they have vitamin B12. That's, you can snort it now. So it goes right into your system. I'm like, snorting vitamins, that's got to be good for you. I haven't done it. I've had a lot of pain this last 3 years. I've been at my job 20 work from the, because I'm a really good worker, all that stuff. Over the years, I got bilateral. That's why I'm like this. I'm protecting my elbows. My elbows, it's like that tennis elbow. And for anyone that has it, oh, my God, it's really a horrific, painful thing to have happen. And then I got the carpal tunnel, which is okay. But for an alcoholic, when you go to the doctor and they say you're going to have surgery, so does that mean you're going to put me out? It's like, you know, I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't try to make myself get hurt, but I love 99. I love when they say count back from 100. I could do that all night long. 100, 99. Oh, I love that. I love waking up from that and being all... It's a good feeling. And I don't know that I would take the pill to get rid of it, because like you, Kevin, I love waking up and not knowing what the day is going to bring. And because what I do for my living, God, yeah, I can't make any plans. I've been in limbo for like 3 years, and I am so waiting on him. Maybe I was supposed to take some tips from him a year and a half ago, but I'm still waiting, and maybe I wasn't supposed to, but now that I have, it has been 3 years, and really nothing's happening. He must be busy. And I have, like, these decisions to make, and I'm just a bad decision maker. Even now, I need to talk to someone. I need to run it by someone. I need to write about it. A friend said to me today, are you going to think about, you know, go home and think about everything you're going to say. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. So I called her, and I was talking to her for like an hour about all this other stuff, and it never even dawned on me what I was going to be doing tonight. And that's good, because it's not the drinking that's going to get me. It's my thinking. And I just don't have a good, clear thought on my own without God. Without keeping it real, without coming to meetings. When I turned 10, I had heard this before. When you get some time in sobriety, you know, things fall apart. And I'll be 15 this year, and I'm going to lose my house. The job has been screwed up. My mom's dying. My dad doesn't know who we are. And people still are dying around me. 4 people have died in the last month that I know. Seriously, that's how my sobriety has been. At first, it was every 30 days. When I took a token my first year, it was for someone that passed away that I loved. It wasn't just casual people. It was somebody I actually loved and cared about that was in my life. I cannot tell you, by the time I was 9 months, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And how grateful is that, that I was sober, I stayed sober, and I can do anything. In sobriety, I can get through anything. In sobriety, I'm absolutely convinced that I don't have to drink again. And I'm done. I'm so done. I never want to feel that way again. It's bad enough feeling the way that I do in sobriety sometimes. It hasn't been easy. You know, this really hasn't been a good year. Last year sucked too, but this year, not so great. You know, if I'm honest about it, and I did all the addictions, the men, the chocolate, the shopping, the TV, ice cream, whatever. You will, whatever you need to do to not drink again, do it, because nothing's worse than drinking again. It's not worth it. The newcomers will tell you that it's not working. Yeah, it's hard to stay sober, sure. But it's like working out. It'd be really hard to start up again. I don't work out. I should. Just not me. God loves me today. Just the way I am, 15 years sobriety this year, and it still baffles me. I have a lot of people that don't like me, a lot of people that tell me that I'm brazen, intimidating, rude, bossy, whatever. Again, not my problem, and I have to work on that. That's one of my defects, plenty of defects. a lot of defects. But then we get to do that other stuff, and we get to give it away. And mostly for the women that I've known in the program that have come and gone, that have gotten sober and left and come back, and they're still really good guy friends, and I appreciate the men coming tonight that came for me, Dano. And see you. I had friends growing up all my life. I've been very social. And it's been easy for me to do that. So I'm lucky. It's one of the many things I'm lucky for. I'm lucky that when I got here, I didn't go back out yet. And if you haven't heard, yet is you're eligible too. I don't want to negotiate my sobriety date. I'm so tired of negotiating everything else, please. It's the one thing that I cannot give up, because thank God. Right, Stuart? You're like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're gonna show up. You know what, there's so much in the book that I'd like to say, but you already know. I hope you have a sponsor. I hope you listen to the sponsor, and I hope when you're mad at your sponsor that you'll really listen to why you're mad at them. When you're not talking to them, that's okay. I hope you shut up when you go to meetings. I hope you stop listening to yourself. You make me sick, listening to you. I make me sick. Just shut up. And I believe that God is everywhere, and each and every one of us. And what scares me is that if I'm wrong, what if I get up there and there is, if I didn't believe and there is a God, that would be a bummer. So I just choose to believe it, because it helps to have something. And I my heart is so heavy for those that don't know God, but also accepting and loving that if you don't have God, that you're still here. That's fantastic. And I don't care who your God is, what your God is. If you want to say higher power, I don't care. I love it anyway. Whatever it is. And that's okay. My God's different than yours. It's not better. It's just mine. And I love that Alcoholics Anonymous does that. And that we don't turn... What does the bell mean? Shut up? Or I just thought. I'm like, was I supposed to sit down? Who's got the bell?
Us?
Get up! No. I thought the bell was... Am I supposed to stop? Yes?